Our Bible study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 3b through 6, discerning false and true spirits by their spiritual realms. Many believers unknowingly fall into error by assuming that only obvious cults err, but cults are not all that err or even promote error. Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon in the book The Seduction of Christianity in pages 7 and 8 indicate many times even evangelicals and evangelical pastors and leaders unknowingly promote error that has been picked up out of the cultic errors. Well, the whole world is ruled by Satan, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And many false messengers of Satan have permanently gone out into the world, as we learned in our study of 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. So 1 John 4, 3b to 6 provides invaluable insight on discerning true from false spirits behind all messengers by their spiritual realms as follows. I want to read the verse and then we'll look at it. Let me start at the beginning of verse 3 and we'll go to verse 6. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knows God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Therefore hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, the Apostle John claimed that the spirit of the coming Antichrist is already in the world. It's interesting, the Antichrist has not been revealed to be the Antichrist. In fact, he will not be revealed to be the Antichrist until after the church is raptured. That's after you and I are gone. But the evil spirit that is behind the Antichrist has been in the world since John's time. It's been around a long, long time. And that spirit does not confess Jesus Christ's permanent incarnation, as we learned in 1 John 4, 3 in our last lesson. Of course, there are a lot of parties today that just don't get around to confessing Christ has come in the flesh, or they'll confess that Jesus came in the flesh, but he's no longer in the flesh, that kind of a thing. Well, that evil spirit can be discerned from the Holy Spirit by their differing realms, and that's what verses 3b to 6 are all about. 1 John chapter 4, 4 to 6 contains a series of emphatic pronouns in the Greek texts. Normally, the pronoun, like in Hebrew, is written like after the verb. But here, it actually appears many times as the first word in the phrase. So there are emphatic pronouns. The word you, and that refers to John's Christian readers. They or them, that's the Antichrists. And we or us, that's Christ's original apostles. Now, utilizing these emphatic pronouns, John marked off sharp boundaries or spiritual realms as follows. John's readers, children of God, were of God as to spiritual source, and they had overcome the Antichrists by resisting their error of failing to confess Christ's permanent incarnation. That's interesting how that's true with believers. Believers have no problem confessing that Jesus Christ is the Creator God come in the body. That's very typical of a believer. Unbelievers don't do that, and those who deny Christ won't. Well, this victory was gained by the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells believers. For he who was in John's readers was greater than Satan who is in the world. I love that verse, the last part of verse 4, you've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is all over the place. And the Bible tells us, remember at the temptation of Jesus Christ, Satan had at one time told Jesus, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now that would not have been a valid temptation unless Satan actually controls the kingdoms of the world, which he does. And this explains many times why we see things happening by this world leader or that world leader. We think, wow, why is that so wrong? Well, Satan is involved in that. Now, the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit who indwells you and me as believers is greater than Satan. And that's why we have the capacity to see through that and we can discern it. And that's thanks to the Spirit of God. Now the Antichrists were of the world as to source, being under Satan's influence, according to verse 5. So they spoke of the world's ideology and the world heard them because it is under Satan's control. I've never ceased to marvel when I listen to candidates speak of their various platforms and so forth, how sometimes you'll get a candidate up there and they'll just say something that is completely false in every conceivable way, absolutely false. And they do it with a straight face, and I think a number of them actually believe what they're saying is true. But all you have to do is to look at the last 15 or 20 years of history, and it's completely wrong. It's just not true. Well, they're under Satan's rule. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that Satan is the god of this world, and Satan blinds the mind of the unbelievers, lest they hear the gospel and believe it and be saved. So this is why whenever we're involved in a witnessing situation, there's a supernatural activity going on. We're dealing with a person whose mind is overclouded by Satan. That's why when it comes to witnessing, we really need to rely upon the Holy Spirit, because if we don't, we're not going to get anywhere at all. Satan is much more intelligent than we are, much more gifted, and he has a file on each of us that's about that thick, 4 or 5 inches thick. He knows us like the back of our hand. So we need to rely upon the Lord. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Now conversely, Christ's original apostles, signified by the emphatic pronoun we in verse 6a, are from God. And the believer who knows God heeds Christ's original apostles. But he who is not of God does not heed us. That is, he does not heed Christ's original apostles. The we and the us that John is talking about is different from the you, and it's the we and the us that he's talking about way back in 1 John chapter 1. These things write we unto you in order that your joy might be full. He's writing as the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we discern the realm of God's Holy Spirit versus the realm of Satan existing in the world as follows. One who heeds Christ's original apostles' words of the realm of the Holy Spirit, while one who does not heed these apostles is of the spiritual realm of the Antichrist, the world and Satan. Very simple. If we are heeding the words of the apostles of Christ, the original apostles, you're of the Lord. You're in the Spirit's realm. If you're not heeding the realm of the apostles, you're heeding something else, then we're not of the realm of God. It's the realm of Satan or the Antichrists or the world. Now, what's interesting is that even believers can turn aside from following Christ and follow after Satan. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul had said that a number of the young widows had already turned aside after Satan because they were involved in house-to-house gossip and busybodies. That's where a woman gets caught up in satanic activity. She's not supposed to be going from house to house being a busybody. What she's supposed to do is to stay focused on her home, and she's also supposed to keep her nose out of other people's business, just focus on her own business. And then in Matthew 16, 13 to 24, the Apostle Peter, after making a wonderful confession of faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, then when Jesus said, "I'm going to have to suffer," Peter took Jesus aside and said, "No, Lord, this can't happen to you." It's interesting what Jesus said. He said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan was actually working through Peter, a believer who had just confessed that Jesus is God come in the flesh. And he was working through Peter to try to convince Jesus not to go to the cross. So even believers can turn aside after Satan and do the work of Satan. So we can discern satanic and Holy Spirit realms even relative to believers' functions as follows. If a believer heeds Christ's original apostles, he functions in the realm of the Holy Spirit. But if he or she fails to heed Christ's original apostles, he follows or she follows after the realm of the world, the Antichrist, and Satan. Now, this application is enhanced by considering the authoritative words of Christ's original apostles as follows. From the authoritative written words of Christ's initial apostles, we can prove the canonicity of the 66-book Protestant canon of Scripture as follows. Matthew 23, verse 35, with Genesis 4, 8, and 2 Chronicles 24, 20 to 22, covers the canonicity of the 39-book Old Testament, since the Jewish 39-book canon order began with Genesis and ran to 2 Chronicles. The Old Testament in the Jewish Old Testament in Jesus' day had the 39 books that we have in ours, but instead of starting with Genesis and ending with Malachi, they switched the orders around so that the last book was 2 Chronicles. So when Jesus mentioned the prophet Abel in Genesis and Zechariah who perished between the altar and the temple in 2 Chronicles, he mentioned all 39 books of the Old Testament. What's interesting is that Jesus left out the Apocrypha, which the Jews had. If he had included Zechariah's or Maccabeus, then all Jesus would have included the Apocrypha, but he omitted the Apocrypha because Jesus did not hold it to be canonical, as did the Jews in Jesus' day. That's another reason why we don't follow the Roman Catholic Church that made the Apocrypha canonical during the Protestant Reformation. So we'll keep that in mind. Then also, John 17:20, where Jesus talked about the words of the apostles, people believing, that would covers Peter's epistles of 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16 covers Paul's 13 epistles. 1 Timothy 5:8 actually cites Luke as scripture, and hence it covers the canonicity of Luke's writing in Acts. Luke chapter 6 verses 12 to 16 with John 17:20 lists the apostles, including Matthew and John, which covers the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the book of Revelation. Matthew 13:55 with Acts 1:12 to 14 covers the book of Jude. 1 Peter 5:13 covers the Gospel of Mark. Revelation 2:10 with James 1:12 cites James' epistle, even though we don't know which James wrote James, but it cites it as scripture. And Revelation 1:16 and 2:12 and 16 cites Hebrews chapter 4:12, and it cites Hebrew as scripture. So that covers all 66 books of the canon of scripture by the apostles' word. So we have an interesting application. This canon also closed with 2 Timothy 3:15 to 4:2, because according to that passage, no more revelation will be given to it until the rapture. Jude verse 3 in the New International and the English Standard Versions claims that the apostolic faith was once for all given to the church, so the canon cannot be altered. All this goes to show that if a believer thus heeds the closed, unalterable 66-book canon of Scripture, what we're saying is, if a believer heeds this, that's all this has been building up to, if a believer heeds that, then he functions in the Holy Spirit's realm. If he fails to heed this authority, he operates in the realm of the world, the Antichrist, and Satan. That's the bottom line. It all depends what they do with the Bible. And you can heed a lot of other things that may appear to be good and everything, but it's not from the Bible. It's from the world, the Antichrist, or the Satan's realm. So the lesson is, God the Holy Spirit's spiritual realm is identified by heeding the written, closed, unalterable 66-book canon of Scripture, where Satan's spiritual realm is identified by the failure to heed that scripture. So may we believe in Christ in obedience to John 3:16 of Christ's original apostle John for eternal life. Then may we then not fail to heed the closed, unalterable 66-book canon of scripture, and so function in the spiritual realm of the world, Antichrist and Satan, but heed that scripture to function in the Holy Spirit's realm. Many years ago, I talked with a Christian lady. At the time, she attended our church, and she's not in our church today. And we were talking about a sermon I think I'd preached, or a lesson. I forget what the issue was. And she said, "You mean to tell me that you were preaching this or that?" And I forget what it was. And I said, "Yes, and that's what God wants us to do." Then she turned to me and she said, "You as a pastor have to obey that, but those of us in the pew, we don't have to be that strict." And I listened to this and I thought, what? I had never heard someone say that, you know, a pastor has to have a stricter obedience to the Bible than another Christian. In fact, you don't find a verse anywhere in the New Testament that says that. Now, it's true if you're going to qualify to be an elder or deacon or something, you have to adhere to very strict guidelines. But it's interesting, pastors and elders are supposed to be examples. What is an example? An example is somebody you're supposed to copy. He's a type, he's a pattern you're supposed to follow. So if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, as we say. If it's good for the pastor, then eventually it's good for everybody else. So this was very revealing to me, and I realized that where this lady was coming from, she wasn't really following Scripture. She was following it to a point, but there was another point where she said, no, I'm not going to follow that. And once you do that, you're in the realm of the world, in the realm of the Antichrists, in the realm of Satan, because we're getting away from obedience to the Word of God. And the mindset there is that way. I talked this morning in our sermon about Jack Deere, who's used to be a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's now at the point where he teaches that if you hold to the Bible as your sole authority of faith and practice, that you're actually holding to that which is demonic. I read an article many years ago when he first left the seminary, actually when he was first removed from the seminary because of his view. And it's interesting, he said, when I was at Dallas, we were learning all sorts of exotic languages in the cousin languages of Hebrew and so forth. We were doing a lot of scholarly work. But he said there was very little on emphasis on emotions and feelings. And so this guy has gone into the direction of the feelings. Well, that's very much like the charismatic. So he's gone from that, the feelings, and then he's gone whole hog over into denying that the Bible is the sole authority of faith and practice. Now he's at the point where he says if you stick to the Bible as your sole authority, you're actually teaching that which is demonic. Well, that's a long ways to go, but he came that way because he got away from the Scriptures and he got into feelings. What feels good? What's exciting? Rather than what the Word of God actually says. Now, God isn't opposed to us having feelings. But feelings are supposed to follow facts. The facts are in the Word of God. That's the objective thing that we have to follow. And so may we make sure that we're adhering to the Word of God, lest we fall into the realm of the evil one and function in the realm of the evil one.